Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Merloni and Fourier.
My God!
Is that you?
That sounded like the kid who threw the water bottle at Kyrie.
Not me!
The Red Sox lost.
Two runs score, and the Astros lead 9-1.
The Bruins lost.
Our breakdowns were bad.
It's losing hockey, Steve, is what it is.
The Celtics.
Schroeder to Smart, three-pointer! Bang! He ties the game at the buzzer!
Lost. It just took them longer to do it. Let's recap. Everybody lost. Except the Revs. Yeah, the Revs won. There you go.
Play the soccer goal.
It's Lou.
I don't know.
Here it goes. It's Christian.
Yes, come lay down. Come over here. Come sit on my lap. Okay. I'm going to rub you back.
It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody. I know yesterday didn't go well for most teams. The Revs won, though. Go Revs. DC United took them down. So that was a good thing. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
It's Merloni and Fourier here on a Thursday. We got a
tired Thursday. A tired Thursday.
Doesn't it feel like it's just like worn out, tired Thursday? A lot of people just like,
We both saw each other. We both pulled in at the same time. First thing we both said to each other is how tired we are. Then you come into the studio when Gresh and Keith are leaving. They say the same thing to you.
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, I'm tired.
Like the Celtics going to overtime, the Red Sox with their issues, hockey. I mean, they just emotionally
drained. The worst call I got all night was like, hey, we can still do like, you know, post game on NBC Sports. I said, you got it. They said, all right, we got to do it after the Celtics game. Double overtime. So I was like, we can't tape it at like 9?
Is this the first baseball show of the year, Lou?
Yeah, no, Dan. So I was like, can we just tape it at like 9? So we can just sort of, I can go to bed? But no, 11:35, double overtime, midnight again. I'm like,
live,
come on.
We're going to do it live.
Come on, cut a brother a break. Good God,
no break
sucks
for you.
Oh, that was a tough one last night.
A lot going on, a lot going on.
That was a tough one. There was a lot going on last night. We got,
so tonight, today we got Jack.
We got a Thursday. We got a Bruins Thursday. Jack Edwards talked to us at 4 o'clock, 4:30, Rodney Harrison. So we got, we'll do a little bit of self as well.
Yeah,
we got it all.
So Rodney's taking the place of big deal, no big deal. He needs to know that. Well, is it a big deal, no big deal that Ronnie's on at 4:30 on Thursday?
He is a big deal.
He is
a big deal. There's no question about that.
He plays when he comes on. Yeah. All right, let me go first real quick.
Take me through this 9-1 loss last night.
So here's what stood out to me, because I think I said Chris Sale was going to give you 4 scoreless. I really didn't think he would be able to give you 5 in one run. Like, that's really where it should have ended. And we've talked about this before. I mentioned this to you last week before Chris Sale got that first start against Houston. Okay, the big debate was, why is Chris Sale even starting? Like, so to me, it looks like the relationship and the trust and the respect and the belief that Cora has for Sale is ultimately clouding his judgment. He has so much respect and love for him, and he believes in him, that it clouds his judgment. Because just saying Chris Sale is the excuse and the reason why it's not good enough, because we heard it last week, and then we heard it again last night, of why did you leave Chris Sale in to pitch the 6th?
I mean, he was throwing the ball great. There was some weak contact throughout the night. He was on command. You know, the walk put us in bad place, but then we didn't make a play. Then Bregman hits a comebacker to the pitcher, and then Alvarez hits a hit. You know, sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order, you know, and he was throwing the ball great. The stuff was really good. He was throwing 97 with a good slider. Did an amazing job early on, and we had Alvarez still. He is who he is, but he's Chris Sale. He's a lefty, and, you know,
he's made a living. Thank you, Ryan. That's all I need.
He's Chris Sale.
It's like he waits for that opportunity to, like, after he gives all the reasons, his exclamation point is, it's Chris Sale, guys. Like, shut up. It's Chris Sale. Don't doubt me. Don't second guess me. It's Chris Sale. So why do I have to explain anything to you? So, and I don't know how you felt, but I felt like he had dodged a bullet. and he gave you five innings with one run, I'd be like, oh, my God, get him the hell out of here. That's more than I thought was possible. Like, let's not push it. Let's not chance it. Because you're starting with Altuve, then Brantley, then Bregman, and the, God forbid you have to face Alvarez. Alvarez, and sure enough, you did, which ended up killing you. But for me, Lou, that's what keeps standing out to me. Is like, I wish to God that I had the reputation that Chris Sale has, that whenever I do something, and even though it's stupid and it doesn't make any sense, I can just say, well, it's me. It's Christian Fourier. Like, I can just do it. I can do it's Christian Fourier.
Lou, why do you let Christian do that stuff? Well, it's because it's Christian Fourier.
Oh, my God, it's Christian Fourier.
I agree with you because this has been this, like, not so much after that Washington and first start in Tampa. I think people were down on Chris Sale. But even before that, everybody wanted to throw against the Yankees. You can't pitch a volley. It's Chris Sale. I mean, fans, not just for – it's Chris Sale. You got to – it's not the same Chris – you know who Chris, the real Chris Sale is? He came up about for one hitter. Tucker. That at-bat against Tucker. Bregman's on third base. He's got a big lead. After the first 97 up in the zone, when he was just FU fastballs all day long, at one point Vasquez looked at him and showed his glove to third, like, hey, keep an eye on Bregman. And he swatted his glove towards Bregman like, basically, I don't give a bleep about this guy. Give me the damn ball back. And he threw 98 by him and screamed his ass off the mound. We forget that's who he is. That's what he looks like. And it ain't for one hitter. Okay, it's for seven innings. That is Chris Sale.
Well,
this
see, that's
the
reputation that we're talking about. But there
that
is,
was him,
there
for
is,
one guy.
I mean, I know, but there is a limit to it, and things have changed. I mean, if you want to go back, I don't know how many years, and say, like, okay, I'm not going to question whether you're sending him out for the sixth inning or not. I'm not going to question you at all. Yeah, at that point in time, there's value there. It's Chris Sale. I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like the phrase, it's Chris Sale, has lost its meaning. It's lost its strength and its power. Are you surprised he got through five
you know
with one
like?
Run?
You know what it sounds like? It's the Patriots.
Exactly.
Of course they're gonna win.
Oh, it's like David Culley, head coach of the Houston.
Yeah, they're
well
disciplined.
Yeah, like you know they're not. Yeah, they're terribly disciplined.
They don't kill themselves with penalties.
No,
and turnovers.
No, they do. They do all the time.
They're always prepared.
No, they're never prepared.
I agree. Listen, I want to get more to him, Chris. Yeah, we'll do that next segment. But my takeaway, obviously, Framber Valdez was out in the mound, and we'll get to him too in the bottom half of the hour. On the mound, this guy just, you know, the Boston Red Sox, yesterday we had a discussion. So 23 runs, 28 runs total, 23 from the home run. And we're saying, are they two home run dependent? And I'm like, well, listen, they're hitting home runs. I don't care how they score runs. I'll take a three-run shot, three grand slams all day long. Last night it caught up to them. Last night it did. Because you're facing a guy in Framber Valdez that's just fastball, like a sinker, rather, and a curveball. Very good curveball. Very good, especially when he gets extra juice on it, if you know what I mean. But very good sinker as well. And all he's doing is preying on you, trying to pull the fastball. All he's going to do is throw a fastball out of half, let his sink do the work. What do they call it? Framberized? Whatever they call it in the broadcast. He throws a little sinker up and away. And he's going to go ahead, try to hit a home run. Pull the ball to left. Oh, you got another sinker away. Yeah, pull the ball to left center. Do what you got to do. Ground ball to third. Ground ball to short. Everybody. The only guy that hit him, the best at-bats were really the lefties. Like, I thought, you know, Verdugo had good at-bats. Obviously, Devers had good ones, too. But the righties? Boy, the righties were trying to get in line to see who could hit the next home run to jumpstart this crowd. Every single one of them tried to pull him, like, including Renfro. And that's what happens when you don't take a heater up and away, a sinker up and away, and drive it to right center. Or, you know, take Bogarts, take it, go to right center. JD, try to hit it out of the other way. Instead, everybody was trying to launch, to get the crowd into it, to get themselves into it, to be the guy that hit the home run. Last night, this home run dependent, you know, the amount of home runs they've hit, bit him in the ass. Because he preyed on that thing. He couldn't wait for you to try to pull. You try to pull a sinker baller, guess what happens? Ground ball to third, ground ball to short. How many times did we see that?
He threw a bunch of sinkers.
How many times did we?
He
threw nothing but fastballs in the first inning. He didn't come out curveball, ball one, curveball, ball two like last time. No, no, no. Fastballs, here you go, sinkers. You guys want 8 home runs? Good luck. I am the wrong matchup for you today, and he was. He walked through that lineup.
Do you remember when we were getting ready? When we were getting ready to talk to Cora yesterday before the game, I said, okay, what do you think about this question? And it was, are you hitting too many home runs?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him, are you hitting too many home runs? Because it seems like that's all you do. Like, the ball's never in play. And all the runs, I mean, I don't know if you gave the stat before, but yesterday it was 22 of 27 runs have been because of home runs.
23 or 28 now.
Yeah, of 81%. Yeah, Devers got you one yesterday.
When this team is going well, you know, and I get it, you're hitting so many bombs. Everyone's so excited to hit homers. But when they're going well, they take sinkers and they drive it to right center, righties. And there was a couple of them just up and away that were just juicy. Just drive the ball to right center. Instead, it's roll over to third. It's just sitting there. You want to sink a baller up, and you want to take him up the middle of the field. They did nothing, none of that. And they're much better than that. It was an awful approach from this lineup, from the Reds, in my opinion.
And then when they
and they're much better than that. They can hit the ball the other way.
When they did put the ball in play, it literally went to every single position.
Oh, they're slow rolls.
It was like, okay, first baseman got to play, second baseman, Altuve, Bregman. Like, everybody was involved.
Yeah, two, three
hoppers. Everyone was like, hey, let me get a play. All right, bam, let's go. Hey, you want to turn two? Who's up? Renfro? Bam, let's turn two. I mean, to me, it was like, you know, nobody got bored. Like the outfield, maybe. Maybe out in the outfield. They weren't involved at all.
Valdez was fantastic. He really was. But how long you lived in New England now?
Let me go with 19 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. So you've been around like 60-degree days?
Yes.
You ever sweat like a madman on a 60-degree day?
Only if I have like a bunch of sweatshirts on because I misjudge what the weather is going
to
be.
We'll get to that a little bit later as well.
Oh, really? Intrigue.
Coming up next.
Don't go to New England.
Don't go to New England. We sweat our ass off when it's 60 out and cold. Coming up next, we talked about Chris Sale earlier. I want to bring that up again. Should he have been on the mound in that sixth inning at all? We'll do it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Uvila was as good as it's been all year, and what kind of was working so well for you over those first five innings?
I had to leave everything out there. I told myself coming into this game I had a job to do, and obviously didn't get it done, but I left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
Chris Sale. After
hey, what?
The game, talking about his nuts.
Talking about how he left them out there.
I'll say this about Sale, and I don't know if these Red Sox are going to play again, but that was good to see. Like that was good to see. There was definitely a build-up from his first start against Tampa, the second start against Houston in game one. I thought there was an uptick in stuff. He just didn't go long. This one here, he was good. This one here, it was like, okay. Like, I don't know if it makes you feel good about next year. I don't know, but
yeah,
this,
sure.
This was, and his changeup was in play a little bit more. This was Chris Sale. This was, especially that at bat against Tucker. 97, 98, screaming and yelling and hollering. I was shocked. And that's the other part I've talked about before. When that happens, raise your hand if you thought the Red Sox were going to drop a 2 or 3 spot on their ass next inning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, oh, here we go. That got Fenway jumping, but you know what happened? Boom. Oh, I'm going to be the guy that hits the home run to get roll over. No, I'm going to be the guy that hits the home run. Sinker, roll over. I'm good. Solo shots.
Well, do you blame him for the amount of grand?
Roll over.
I almost don't blame him. It just became.
Stay with your approach.
It just became part of just the quick little reality that was what they were going through. With all the grand slams, all the home runs, I can easily see that them kind of shifting. Like, even though they weren't trying to, subconsciously, like, that's what we need. That's what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not what they're doing. So, I mean, to me, like, as far as Chris Sale goes, I don't need to be, you know, Alex Speer. I don't need to be, you know, John Tomasi, Rob Bradford. I don't need to be you to kind of understand, like, what's going on. I don't need somebody else to tell me, like, wow, we just got away with one. I thought the fifth inning was a little bit much. I thought the fifth inning was, okay, house money.
Mm-hmm.
We're Dunsky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should have been it. Like, you push it as far as you could. And I don't care if he was throwing 97. I don't care. You knew something bad was going to happen. And I would say as soon as you walked Altuve, now I'm done. Now I'm really done. I don't want to play around with it anymore.
Yeah. I don't think he should have went out there in the sixth. I just don't. And I don't know what it says about the guys behind him or who Alex trusted, whatever. And maybe it was, you know, listen, he's Chris Sale. It was easy for me. But I'm with you. Like, that fourth inning, That strikeout to Tucker, I almost felt like I think he just gave you everything he had to get this guy.
Like, when he's screaming in his glove like, when he gets off the mound? I think that was it.
I think he just like reached back. You know, you always talk about like innings and like stressful innings and a guy can go and there's no stress in his outing. Nobody's on base. And you're like, oh, we'll stretch him out. We'll let him go six, seven innings because there's no stress. And then there's the other guy that after like four innings, like you're sitting there and you're like, you know, you're at home and you have no fingernails left and you're drunk because it's been so much stress. Guys on the base pass, every pitch meant like it meant something. That takes its toll. And I felt like that fourth inning, I was like, oh, man, he might be done. But I think 7, 8, 9 saved them in the fifth, right?
Yep.
Like, I think it was like, okay, bottom three hitters, you know, Gurriel, and you got, you know, Siri, and then Maldonado, who hasn't done anything. And I'm thinking, okay, get him up in the fifth, and maybe if he needs help, if it gets to the top of the order, you get help. But to come out in the sixth against the top of the order, I didn't think it was the right call. And Alex always talks about pockets, and he was talking about, you know, once I walked Altuve, then I had lefty, righty, lefty. But at the beginning of that inning, it was righty, lefty, righty. Right, and I know they stack it that way, the first three or four hitters, and it made me think, like, we missing something with Tanner Houck?
What do you mean, missing something with Tanner Houck?
Like, he came in game one, right, threw the top of the order, gave up the home run, the two-run shot to Altuve, and then it was like, okay, well, he's available for, you know, game two, Evaldi, hopefully you don't need him. Okay, he's available game three behind, you know, Erod. Oh, thank God he didn't have to throw against Erod, because he's available behind Pavetta. You know, they'll piggyback. Oh, he didn't even need him against Pavetta. He'll be the next guy in out of sale. He's only pitched one inning. Like, they go into Ottavino more, you know, for these, like, three or four righties at the end of the lineup. And I'm like, isn't Houck better than Ottavino? Like, why can't Houck start the sixth? And I know that there's lefties. And I get nervous, too, you know, with Brantley and Alvarez and Tucker. But I don't know. Are we at the point where it's just a bad matchup for him? It's just not a team that he's going to throw in this series? Because sometimes when the series is over, you look back and say, the guy never threw. He didn't like him in any of these matchups. He didn't like him against Brantley. He didn't like him against Alvarez. He didn't like him against Tucker. Because you say, who would come in? Well, the sixth inning. I'm going Houck one time through the order. And I know there's some uncomfortableness with the lefties, but I'm just... I don't know. The cat hasn't thrown. He has not thrown at all series. And
Wait,
we
so
thought he'd be a weapon
on
the pen. I don't know if he's hurt or just a bad matchup. Why has he not pitched? Why has he not pitched? I mean, even, you know, so I just been waiting for this guy, thinking they're kind of holding on to Houck, and it's like, okay, behind Erod, behind Pavetta, behind Sale. He hasn't thrown yet. He hasn't thrown at all.
He has two pitches. Don't you think he's an easier guy to game plan for?
Yeah, he is, but he threw a split recently.
Other thing is,
in his last few outings, he's been pretty good.
You know, and we talk about two-out runs, two-out RBIs, and how good the Astros are at it. Like, this is a mindset. It's almost like a game. Like, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to be the guy that gives up the last out. I'm not going to be that guy. Let the next guy be the guy that does it. I do think it's now, or it's the, you know, the trash can, or it's the whistling that we're going to introduce to you in a second. And that's why it scares me even more so with a guy like Alvarez. Like, it just, you should be nervous about it.
The whole inning.
It shouldn't. And then you talk about the whole inning.
Oh, Schwarber.
It got worse, right? Didn't it get progressively worse? So Altuve.
The ball.
It's not funny anymore, right?
No.
Like, nobody's laughing anymore.
We didn't joke in the next one, did we?
No. Nobody's laughing anymore. And we were talking last night. Like, I feel like he got, like, internally, I feel like he was nervous. And he was playing tight. And
he was shook.
I think it got to him.
He was shook.
I think he was shook.
He was shook. And by the way, you know, I know, you know, Renfro is a mess with the double plays and everything. Schwarber's now 3 for his last 24. You know, Kyle from Waltham.
Yeah.
He had a grand slam, okay, but he's 3 for his last 24. He looked shook last night. First off, that ball, he's a new first baseman. He tried to do too much. I mean,
He's freaking out watching Altuve.
Altuve's running the third. Dude, you're going to catch the ball. You're not throwing it across the diamond. You're not comfortable throwing. You're not comfortable catching. Like, it's not even his fault. They've kind of hit him, right, for the last 2 weeks here in the postseason. He sort of hid over there at first base. And he's done a nice job. He's actually picked a few balls and everything. But it's just he tried to do too much. You catch that ball, man, on third, one out. It's a 1-0 game. You know, one run's out. They're not killing you. And at least your offense, which didn't do anything, one run would have been just fine. Okay, man on third, one out. Let's go. All right, you just battle. Now, as it turned out, Bregman, comebacker, you know, next to Sale. That's the real question. Second and third, which should have been just third and two outs. And I believe if it was third base and two outs, I don't know if they're pitching Alvarez. Second and third, one out. Everybody in the world wanted to walk Alvarez. And I understand it. But you are loading the bases up for Correa. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, because he doesn't like the big scene. He doesn't like the moment.
And he punched him.
He hates me. Yeah, I know.
He punched him out, but still, should they have walked him? He shouldn't have been in the game in the first place, in my opinion.
There's two.
Well, maybe Taylor comes in. A fresher arm comes in, lefty. Because now it's Alvarez, and it's Correa, and it's Tucker. So I'm just, I didn't like him starting the sixth. I thought you were flirting with it. Very dangerous, top of the order, third time through. But it just, to me, the whole inning was a mess.
But isn't that game, the last two games, really the last four games when you think about it, just ultimately a smaller, like a microcosm of what this team has been all about? Hot and cold, hot defensively, cold defensively, hot at the plate, cold at the plate, terrible base running, terrible offensive plays, no hits, terrible defensive plays, like going back to Renfro, like going back to Schwarber. Like, to me, this is who they are. And so you got, now I feel like you're in this small little pocket of the doldrums. Like, you're not getting, We can talk about Sale all day long. The fact is that you're not hitting, you're not driving in any runs whatsoever. So even if Sale's getting knocked around, can you give me five runs? Can we make them stress out a little bit?
Well, I think it's
like you're about to come back.
I'm with you. Hopefully it was a wake-up call. But like, listen, stick with your approach. We're not going to hit home runs every day. Stop trying to pull sinkers. These types of things. Like, just try to get back to it. But you're right. This is the Red Sox of 2021. This is what this team is right now. And when you feel good about them, they suck. And when you think they're done, they come back. So it's like, if you're on that pattern, then they go to Houston and win two somehow. Like, I'm serious. Like, I don't know who these guys are. When they look like they're about to run away with the American League, they can't win a ball game. When they look like they're about to wrap up the wild card and home field, they go lose 5 of 6. When they look like they're absolutely done, they sweep the Nationals. When they get blown out in game one, it looks like the season's over, and then they sweep the rest of them against Tampa. When they go up 2-1 against Houston, you're starting to plan for the World Series. And then they get destroyed the next two. And now the season's over again. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they win game six. And if they come out and win game seven, I don't think it's over.
So, to me,
it's just who they are. I have no clue.
To me, there also seems like in this series, at least, there's a bunch of outliers. Like, you tell me, what's a bigger outlier? What's a bigger anomaly? Valdez giving you 8 innings, 1 run of baseball? Or you, the Red Sox, hitting 3 grand slams? Like, what's
more? 3 grand slams.
3 grand slams. Okay. Yeah. That's not who you are. But
ultimately,
is Valdez with 8 innings, okay? Like, historically, it's unheard of
ultimately,
in the postseason.
The Red Sox games that they have lost, you were up 3-1 in the sixth with Houck on the mound. It was 3-3 in the seventh with Robles on the mound. And then the next game you came back, the other night when you lost, it was 2-1 in the eighth with Whitlock on the mound. It was tied up in the ninth with Eovaldi on the mound. And then last night, I mean, it was 1-0, in the fifth inning, going into the sixth inning. And, you gave it up there. But of the other two games, it's sort of, Houck's giving it up, Robles giving up, Whitlock's giving it up, Eovaldi's giving it up. Those are your two losses late in games. Like, those are your guys. Brazier hasn't looked good either. He's been giving it up, but he has an opportunity to blow a lead, but he's been giving it up. These are the guys you need late in games. You can't go out and score 9 in the first three innings, and that's the only way you can win. You got to win a close game. It was 2-2 when they lost 9-2. It was 1-0 and they lost 9-1. Like, it's like late in games. Like, it's just, it's bullpen. And you're looking at guys, I don't know. Start thinking about Matt Barnes. What the hell happened to him? If you had a closer, could it have been better? He just disappeared. It's late in games bullpens. And it's a lot of the guys you've been relying on. They haven't been getting it done. All right, so the Astros up 3-2 heading back to Houston. Are they back to their own tricks? We'll discuss. I'm Maloney and Fourier next. Welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. Sox go down 9-1. Game 6 in Houston. They're down 3-2. That'll be tomorrow night, 8 o'clock start. So, of course, when the Astros and the Red Sox play, Christian, there's always some kind of controversy. I think when you get to this level, when you get to these ALCSs against certain teams, everyone's sort of lurking, looking for some things. Everyone's sort of concerned with some things. The booth last night, they were very concerned, like the third inning, Framber Valdez. They had this to say.
Now let's just say this. Every time Framber gets a new baseball, every time he touches his left neck, every single time.
Raising a suspicion, perhaps?
I mean, his curveball's better. It's back.
It is.
Well, he hasn't thrown that many of them.
0-2, grounded foul to the backstop as he waited on that curve.
There we go, baseball, left neck.
Yep, he just did.
It's unbelievable.
Or actually,
cheek
between
maybe?
His eye... And his right
there
near his eyebrow.
Again.
Yeah.
Like his temple.
Yeah, the temple, exactly. That's the area. It is uncanny to watch him go to his temple after every new ball is put in play. Could be a nervous habit.
Well, he does have sweat there, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere except the place that he touches.
And with misses and one and one, stepping away.
Alex has said he is not going to check. He just feels like he's not the guy to do it. This would be a night I would do it.
I love Will. It's just not giving up
do
on
Will.
It. Yes, he's seen it. It's like, does history tell us? I guess I would have to look back at his last start or his last three starts, even during the regular season, and kind of gauge, like, what does he normally do? Is this a habit that he always does? This has nothing to do with the weather being brisk because it wasn't freezing cold.
Yeah, he was sweating.
It was one of the nicer. Yeah, I know. So he was sweating like crazy.
I can't speak to one's sweating habits. But I'll say this. Do I think that he was having sticky stuff on the ball? Yes, I do. Do I think pitchers are still using sticky stuff? Yes, I do. Okay?
But they're being checked when they leave the mound.
What are you talking about?
They check the gloves. Major League Baseball came out and said,
yeah, we're going to check. What are we going to check? We're going to check your glove, your belt, and your hat. And there might have been even a secret memo. I don't even know. Just word in the streets.
Black market.
Whatever it is. Once again, did you hear what I said? We're checking your glove, your hat, and your belt. And that is it. He's going to his wrist, glove wrist all the time. Pitchers are doing it too in the Sox. I mean, I think guys are using what they can use still. Major League Baseball put the hammer down. They messed with a few guys. They figured it out. And to me, they've loosened it up. Okay? They've loosened it up. Back of the neck, face. Whatever, wrist, they've on the leg, pant leg, they've loosened it up. Do not put it on your hat, your glove, or your belt. If you are, I'm going to suspend you because you're just an idiot for putting it on the three spots that you know I'm checking. You always talk to me about drug tests in football.
Yeah.
We're going to drug test you for weed next Wednesday on the 6th. I'm going to give you 2 weeks just to let you know. We're going to test you next Wednesday at the 6th at 8 a.m. I'm telling you here, the 1st of July, in 3 weeks, we're going to test you for drugs. You know what I mean? So it's
if a guy comes up positive, I mean, come on, how stupid are you?
That one,
you know, they're testing you.
It does. That one doesn't bother me because I do think that sort of happens still. That one doesn't bother me. Now, this Whistlegate, that one could bother me. Okay, that one could bother me because this is sort of.
See, I don't hold on just for a second. I don't understand why that wouldn't bother you when there's the whole entire season. It was about getting rid of the sticky stuff.
Yes, I know. It was. It was trying to even the playing
field. And so here's a guy that's going to be playing on a team with a history of cheating with another guy, Alex Cora, who has a history of cheating from that team, and you're going to boldly go out there and pitch one of your best games ever in a postseason matchup, like 8 innings, 1 run, 3 hits. Like, you're telling me you think that he's bold enough and crazy enough to do that in front of everybody when Will, who's got an unbelievable vantage point from where you guys sit in the booth, to see and then just repeatedly call the guy out?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Maybe it's because
they know Cora isn't going to do anything.
Left snap.
He just did.
It's unbelievable.
I don't think Will is some like conspiracy theorist. I think he's pretty rational.
No, I think
he doesn't like being cheated.
I think he's right. I do.
So why wouldn't somebody say, but why wouldn't he? I mean, I guess I kind of understand why Cora it would feel uncomfortable.
I'm not accusing anybody. Even though I'm just saying, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I love that. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's using. And it wouldn't surprise me if you don't go check because it wouldn't surprise me if your guys are and you don't want to start that right.
Well, then
now.
There we go. So the original conversation we had months ago.
Yes. Yes. Whistling is different.
I need it, you need it. Oh, the Whistlegate.
Whistling is different. Now, 2019, oh, Andy Jesus. Martino.
Here we go.
It was the Yankees and the Houston Astros. And it says, after the Yankees asked Major League Baseball to investigate the Houston Astros for whistling to convey signs in this year's ALCS, the league announced that it found no evidence of wrongdoing and left it at that. As it turns out, the reality of the situation was a bit more complex. Last week, John Boy, the Twitter guy on John Boy, loved it, posted a video of it, right? Whistling everywhere.
Jimmy O'Brien.
Yeah. The Yankees' suspicions arose during game one as they reported Phil Nevin and others on the Yankees bench accused, I remember this too, Astros hitting coach Alex Citron of whistling. Several years, widespread suspicion has followed the Astros, sign stealing. It says almost most teams engage in some form of this activity. Somebody said they've been, quote, they've been doing it for years, an executive from another team. So this has been an issue. The Yankees have felt like they've always been doing it. I remember this. Citron, the third base coach, who I have confirmation, doesn't know how to whistle. But it doesn't mean somebody else doesn't know how to whistle. I'm just confused how this one happens. I'm not saying that, you know, that it's maybe not happening, right? Because I think these people, they figure things out left and right. But the video, the live video is no longer there in the dugout. Is Chris Sale or somebody else tipping a pitch that the bench can see? Because sometimes when a pitcher tips, the hitter can see it better than the bench. And there's other guys where the bench can see it better than the hitter. And is that the relay? You know, think about the communication. You know, the trash can is one thing. Man on first or nobody on. One sign, fastball, boom. Catcher puts down the fastball. He gets set. The pitcher looks, nods. He comes set. And while he's doing all this, there's a bang. Okay? But the whistle, to me, seems very late for the hitter. And I guess if you're sitting dead red, you're confirming it as the ball's kind of coming up and in the windup, whatever. I want to know how it's done, if it's being done. This one, I have more suspicion on whether they're actually doing it. However, there is a clear whistle, and it's been for months with these guys. You got the Alvarez home run? You got that one?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know if we got that one. Go ahead.
But just nine pitches in the first inning. Yordan Alvarez gets the ball in the left.
You missed it? I missed it. Do it again.
Do it again.
But just nine pitches in the first inning. And Yordan Alvarez hits the ball in the left.
I feel like, okay, so is that the only time it was
Altuve.
Heard? Was it the only time there was a whistle like that before somebody hit?
I mean, Altuve's home run off Whitlock.
First up against Garrett Whitlock. There it goes to left.
I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it.
Altuve is tied it.
Wow. I heard the first one.
You didn't hear that one?
I didn't hear that one.
Well, first up against Garrett Whitlock.
Yeah, no, okay, so I hear it, obviously.
And it's not just that. I mean,
there's
other videos that are out there that
what are
actually
the
Houston Astros, as Astros whisper whatever account. I forget what it was. It's on Twitter. And there's a lot of videos. There's a lot of videos of whispering. I mean, of whistling.
Could it be somebody purposely trying to mess with the Astros? I guess that would suck because they would have to be right, because you hear the whistle, the guy hits a home run, you're like, all right. The guy blows the whistle and then they strike out. That's a different situation. I wouldn't put this one is every. It's insane.
It's insane
to think that they would try it. Like to think that it was. That's
Sox,
why I think someone's just screwing with them.
The Red Sox are using multiple signs with nobody on base. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't know. A couple of games go into it. Like, are we starting to figure out sequences? Getting more comfortable with it? I don't know. They're raking with guys on base. Like, is there relays of signs? Like, if they're relaying signs from second base, and one of the reasons why they're successful two out hitters, then good for them. Then bad for you. Switch them more frequently. Like, I'm not going to sit here just because if I feel like they're doing it, change your signs. Do it more frequently. Mess with them. I don't know. Have your bench whistle. I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? So this one here, to me, the trash can, there's no excuse. Okay, and I know your guy was part of that. But the whistling thing here, I have a hard time believing this one, other than the fact that there are a lot of videos at home, on the road,
isn't it?
Where you're hearing the same type of whistle.
Yeah, but at your park, like I get it if it's in Minute Maid Park,
it's
got to
be relayed
Fenway,
from the bench.
But you're at Fenway, and how can it be relayed that quickly? And then who? Where's the whistle coming from? See, I thought you were going to mention the whole.
Can I get one more? Alvarez double off sale off the wall. Remember that one?
And the batter is Yordan Alvarez. After the ground out by Bregman, and that one's down the line into left. What a night!
And that's what I say. Like I have a hard time. I'd love to try to.
I'm
been thinking
I'm
about it all
this.
Morning. Like how I would execute it.
How would you, as a hitter or as a relayer?
That's what I mean. First off, you're on the third base dugout. Lefty's on the mound. Like if I'm going to steal a sign for tipping from you, like I need to see the other side of you. You know what I mean? I need to see the other side of you. Maybe you're coming to the belt on breaking balls, fastballs. Your glove is upright, the sideways. It's fanning on changeups. Like, the steel signs, you almost, you know, I can't tell much from the back of Chris Sale's body. Like, I can't see much from the back of his body at third base. I don't know how you execute that. I don't know how it gets relayed. Then I saw this stupid thing about Dusty Baker's Fitbit, what he has in his hand. Do you people really think that Dusty Baker's getting a vibration on his Fitbit?
No.
And Dusty's whistling? Or that Dusty has enough time to turn to like the bench guy and be like, here it comes. Like, the camera's on him all day long. Like the Fitbit's got nothing to do with it. So if they're doing it, I don't know how they're doing it.
Okay.
And I'm just saying it's an odd coincidence. It is not.
There it is. It's a loud whistle. It's not a quiet. No, it's loud. We're hearing it over the,
like
over
fans,
the broadcast.
Like fans, you go to Fenway Park.
Where would the whistle come from?
Who whistles at Fenway?
It's specifically like that. The same type of whistle. Is that a actual whistle?
As the pitcher starting his wind up. As the pitcher starting his wind up. Like who at Fenway Park is like, yeah, let me whistle. Like, what are you doing with a whistle? What do you mean whistle? But they've been accused of it before. You know, they have. And then, of course, then you've got, you know, Lindor accusing the Yankees of whistling, if you remember. Earlier this year, he had a home run and looked out to, you know, Judge and gave him the whistle sign. And then the bench is sort of whatever, right? So whistling is like this new thing. I'm just trying to figure out how it happens. Because it's no longer, there's no more live video right there in the dugout anymore. I don't know if they still have a Major League Baseball rep sitting there, but there's no more live video. If you watch your video, maybe they black out the catcher signs or something. So it can't happen right next to the dugout.
So if I'm we're teammates, I'm in the dugout, and listen, I'm not using an Apple Watch, and I'm not using a video camera. I just know, listen, if I see him throwing a fastball, I'm going to yell as loud as I can. Here it comes! Like, why is that illegal? Like, if I recognize, like, if I was on the sideline of a football game, okay, a football team, and I recognize that the defense, that the opposing it's offense not. Was about to run a flea flicker.
It's not.
I would say, here comes the flea flicker.
It's been going on forever.
So why is, okay,
you can't
but that
use
part is.
Electronics.
Okay, fine.
That's
so,
all.
So what if he's whistling?
That's why I say change your signs more. I'm not, you know, sitting here screaming. It's like, they're trying to steal from me. I was consistent with it. Change your signs. Figure it out. Like, it's been going on forever. The first base coach, the third base coach. You know, where he stands in the coach's box, the first base coach. You don't think they can see the signs sometimes with the rookie young catcher? You know, if I'm a right-handed hitter and I glance down and he's in the front of that bat, in the front of that coach's box, like closer to me, then I know it's off speed. If he's farther back, if he's standing farther, starts backing up, I can glance and I know it's a fastball.
See,
it's been going on forever.
Even if I'm a left-handed hitter and I see, and I can just kind of like out of the side, if I'm side-eyeing like what's going on, that's all I really need. I don't even need, I can see it out of the side, corner of
that's
my eye. Somebody holding up their hand,
dude,
or here, right, fastball. And I would only do it, I wouldn't go crazy with it because there would be some confusion because God forbid you get it wrong, okay, then it doesn't work anymore. You look like a fool. But I would only do it on like, okay, whenever I see a slider, I'm going to raise my hand. Whenever I see a fastball, I'm going to raise my hand. Curveball, cut, whatever it is, I'm only going to be able to give you one sign. One alert of this is what's coming. So
yeah,
if luck show if luck have it, has it, then sure enough you'll be able to benefit from it. I always thought this is crazy because like if I see it, I should be able to yell, "Here comes the fastball!"
Right.
Look out! Here it comes.
No, and
he
I think it's like I said, it's subtle, and a lot of it is base coaches. To be honest with you, like I don't know, but I mean, I've seen it many times. You know, like the first. I mean, even like the first base coach. You know, whether he even claps. If he doesn't clap, I know what it is. If he claps, like, here we go. You know what I mean? Then, okay, if I can see that as a right-handed hitter. Or the third base coach, if he's looking in the outfield during the pit, or the first base coach, he could be looking somewhere else. Third base coach looking in the outfield or looking at you as a left-handed hitter. So a lot of the signs sometimes is to mess with the coaches. So they don't see it. You know what I mean? So I don't know how you relay it that quick anymore. That's all, unless you're doing something, tipping pitches. And if you are, shame on you. And if you're not changing your signals enough, then shame on you.
See,
if you're using electrics...
Yeah,
well, that's is what's different.
That's I agree with that. So I was wondering, okay, when this came out this morning, obviously everybody was talking about it. So let's just say, you know, Valdez is found guilty, a little late
of the sticky stuff.
And let's say they do find out that they were sending messages by whistling. What even happens?
Nothing.
Does the mayor need to get involved?
Like to say, take a draft pick.
Yeah, is that what we're going to do?
Find the organization.
You're not going to give the game back to
no,
us,
they
right?
No, they didn't give anything back to the Dodgers.
L.A., yeah.
You know what I mean? So, no, it is what it is. Like I don't – if it's happening, you know –
I tell you what,
that's why I go back to even like what the Red Sox did. You know, the Red Sox used, you know, an in-game looking at your at-bats to confirm pre-game reports. Like, hey, this guy uses outs plus one. You know, or whatever. Follow the two. Last sign, first sign. And once he shakes, he goes right to this. His first, when he changes signs, the first things he goes to is this pattern through our research. And I'm watching on the screen, and I'm watching my at-bat and saying, yeah, he is. He's going second sign. And then you go into the game. That's no big deal to me. Now, if I'm using that to instantly relay to the man on second to relay to the hitter, that's a different story, right? But if I'm just using a screen to confirm my pregame report that the guys gave me, I don't see a problem with that. And that's what the Red Sox got bagged on. Like, that's stupid. Like, they just need to get flesh on that one. What do you got?
What is the difference between the Astros using, you know, the garbage cans, an audio signal, and using a whistle, also an audio signal? I don't see a difference there.
Well, the cans, you instantly, you got some guy in the runway who's watching the pitch, and the catcher puts down a finger. You know, then he gets settled. The pitcher nods. He comes settled. And the guy's sitting there 10 feet away from somebody going fastball. Boom, hit the barrel.
It's doing the same thing with the audio whistling. It's an audio signal to tell the batter what the pitch is coming.
I know, but you're not using technology for it.
How do you know that?
Because you can't. I mean, they got rid of the live feed that's down there in that runway.
But you can't have sticky stuff on you either.
But there's no more live feed. Like, they don't have the instantaneous live feed down there in that video room anymore. So
it's all coincidence then.
No, what I'm telling you is it's if the pitchers are tipping or if the pitchers are doing something else. I don't know. Listen, it's fishy because you hear it so often.
And it's happening on all of their big plays.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, one whistle is a fastball, two is an off-speed. So if it confirms what you're sitting on, then you're going to mash the ball out of the park like Yordan Alvarez is doing.
Yeah, I mean, these guys hunt fastballs, you know. I mean, I have a hard time getting on, like, you throw a fastball down the middle to Altuve and he hits it out of the ballpark. I have a hard time feeling like you told him what's coming.
There's no whistle.
That's all he's
matter.
Looking for.
Whitlock threw a bad
first
pitch.
Like,
yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? That's kind of what they're looking for. Now, Alvarez facing Sale?
But with a guy like Tanner
Houck. That's huge. I want to know. Slider fastball.
But just 9 pitches in the first inning and Yordan Alvarez.
See, I would say there's plenty of time to adjust as a hitter.
Plenty of time for there. That one.
On that one, there's plenty of time. I would even say, I mean, you would know better than I would, obviously. But
Alvarez
like,
needs it against Sale. He needs it against Sale. I mean, if I'm a left-handed hitter.
And that would make me more suspicious.
If I'm a left-handed hitter and I'm facing Sale, I would love to eliminate one of them. You know, it's the only shot I got. If I know the slider's coming, I can lay off of it. I mean, that's like old-school tip. It's like facing Randy Johnson when he pretty much told you what was coming a lot of times. It still didn't matter. But from the windup, I knew his slider. Hell, are you telling me that wasn't helpful? I hit a home run off his
you
ass
did
because
hit
I knew that.
Look at you.
But I'm just saying. Like, I mean, you don't think it was helpful? I need to eliminate a pitch that's so nasty. Like, so if Alvarez comes up, a lefty on lefty is only difficult because of that slider, and it's in your mind, and you're afraid he's going to make you look foolish. But if you know he's not throwing it, holy smokes. Now it's just a fastball. Just coming from the other side. It's no big deal, and it's just a fastball, right? I just don't know how they're doing it, if they're doing it.
So did you get a whistle for Randy? Did you get a two clap?
No, it was glove. He's glove. Tipping all the time.
Randy was
but,
tipping.
I mean, yeah, but it was, and that's fine. That's fine with me. They're tipping. Like, if Erod is tipping, I'm not going to blame the other team. Guy comes set, different game every single inning, different
See,
spot.
I would say,
tips
I would,
his ass
yeah,
off.
So to me, they're both on the table. If I'm Cora, it's I think the uncomfortable part is would be Cora having to, I guess, voice his displeasure or his, you know,
I don't know how they're doing it, but they whistle after every freaking big hit. I mean, I don't know what
before
to tell
every
you.
Big hit.
Well, it seems like yeah. it. A lot of them. Yeah, it seems like
it's
it.
Immediately after the yeah. Vasquez signal every single time.
Yeah, I mean,
right it's, after the signal, it's the same thing as the garbage can, in my opinion.
I don't know what to tell you.
But then, how does Correa, right after Alvarez, strike out looking? It was like a middle outside pitch, and he just took it 98,
yeah.
and he was done.
Right. So I mean, that's what I mean.
It's
so
weird.
It's and I mean, listen, if I'm playing third base and I'm Rafi Devers, or if I'm Vasquez. If I'm the pitcher, like I, you know, it's right in my face, isn't it? Like I can't hear that.
I don't understand that. That's my point. It's so loud. It's not like it's just. And it's not like there's like five whistles. It's not like a bunch of cowbells.
I don't know.
Like this is a one very distinct sound that I think anyone would talk about. So the only like so, what did Will mention the whistle? Or maybe he didn't even
no,
pay attention.
No,
to
I
it.
Didn't hear.
He's
that.
Too focused. But the whole like you know sticky stuff with Valdez. To me, I'd have a bigger issue with that. That yeah. that seems to be something that you can actually chart and look at his history and look at his mannerisms to find out if he's actually doing something different.
Well, I'll say this. I think the Red Sox are aware of the whistle. So we'll
like,
see.
Can you confirm that?
We'll see. Well, we'll see what happens.
But as you heard Will say, Alex Cora, not the guy to do it, and he said he will not check. So isn't that the perfect script for the Astros to do it because they know they won't get checked?
Yeah, that's a problem. He can't be uncomfortable with that. He's going to have to call him out.
This is Alex is the last guy.
This is a Major League Baseball thing. You know, this is a Major League Baseball. I mean, I don't think Alex calls time in the middle of the game and says, I think they're whistling.
Check his hair.
You know what I mean? Like, this is yeah, one of those things where you got to get through the series. You got to change your signs. You got to figure something else out. You got to counter it. And trust me, that's the other thing. Like, when these two teams play each other, you don't think Cora's sitting down saying, this is what they're going to do. This is what they're going to try to do. This is what we got to do to counter it. This is I know their coaches peak. I know their hitters peak. I know everything else. We want to change it. We want to be more consistent. The patterns that we used in the regular season, throw those cards out. We're using different patterns. We're using different sequences.
Yeah. Like, definitely.
They're prepared. They're both prepared. The Astros are prepared for the Red Sox because they know Cora well, too. They're very prepared. That's another reason. I don't know. I can't deny the fact that they're before every big hit. I just don't know. I don't know how it's happening.
Is Jordan Alvarez. After the ground out by Bregman. Wow. That one's down the line.
Off
speed.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Right? It is what it is. All right,
start whistling yourself.
Let's do a little Pats because they got a big game here. We've avoided them all week long. We'll take a look at some of these guys. How does this thing change and with the schedule moving forward? Foree actually thinks he likes the schedule moving forward, which I think is interesting. All right, this hour, Maloney and Foree brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. We talk a little Pats. That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.